Welcome to another episode of the Event Mind podcast with your host. Today is Ashanti Bentaju. That's me. So in this particular episode, I wanted to just highlight a few virtual event trends that I think are relevant and are helpful to be aware of. Okay, I love looking at what's happening out there, what different companies are doing when it comes to their events and how they're kind of heightening and improving the experience, okay, and the levels of engagement for their attendees. It's all about, you know, making sure that your end users are getting the best experience. And again, there is another episode about the virtual profit framework that we created here at EventMind. And two of the key pillars in that framework are collaboration and community. Because when you do those two things, you do wow your attendees, you help them enjoy the virtual experience that much more. And so I'm always looking at what the trends are out there in this area, what other companies are trialing and doing, and also giving feedback, you know, for events that we have been involved in and things that worked particularly well. And one of those things is about customizing and personalizing your content. Okay, what do I mean by that? So, working example, you might be a large food show, okay, and you've got suppliers and vendors and sponsors, but then you've also got buyers on the other side. And those buyers might work in particular sectors within the food industry. Okay, so maybe they look after chilled foods, or maybe they look after the ambience category. What you can actually do as an organization with our help is you can actually send those buyers personalized content and resources that are relevant to them. So instead of just saying, here's your username and login, log into the platform and browse generally, you can actually heighten that experience and you can send them emails with direct links to, okay, the content, the vendors, the suppliers that are super relevant to them. Saving them time, you're showing an interest, you're, you know, personalizing the experience for them. Or when they log into the platform, you can highlight up top, okay, where they should go first or the next few steps they should take. That makes it easier. It's a more enjoyable experience for them. Okay, so personalizing content is so much more effective, and the feedback that you get from attendees is so much better, okay, because they feel like, you know, you have looked after them personally. Okay, so we see that the attendee overall opinion of your event really spikes and goes up, okay, and it improves the way they feel about your event, about your organization and the service that you're providing. Right now, you are competing on the basis of experience. Okay, it's not how expensive your tech is, it's not even the aesthetics of how 3D and imaginary, you know, you can make it. It really is about the experience. And if you're willing to take them through that experience with some intention and interest, such a simple thing, but is making a huge, huge difference. Including your attendee names in emails. It seems basic, but it really does make a difference. You know, if you see that your attendees have downloaded a particular document, an ebook or a video, send them some content related to that particular topic. Okay, carry on that conversation. I remember actually, you know, I downloaded a white paper very recently, and within an hour I received an email from the company saying, hey Ashanti, saw that you downloaded the white paper. Did you see this element? Did you see this one point? What are your views? Now, you can set that to be automated. It doesn't have to be manually done, but nonetheless, they continued the relationship really swiftly with me and very relevant, because they asked me about something that was in the white paper and asked for my opinion. Now, the irony of that is I, in the end, actually, I ended up getting on the phone and having a chat with this company, met some really interesting people, discussed some, you know, really important and relevant things. And now we're actually about to collaborate. Okay, that all happened really because they reached out to me after I downloaded the white paper. So that personalized, customized feel is super important and can lead to places that you can't even imagine at the start of the journey. So really staying connected and having a collaborative, consultative relationship with your attendees, whether they are strangers to you. So maybe, you know, this is an event that attendees are just paying for. They're landing on a web page, a landing page, they're paying. But really make it feel as personalized and custom as is possible for your particular event. So that's one of the important trends that we're seeing that actually drives results. Okay. The second one I would say is really tailoring the experience for both sponsor and attendees. Now, what do I mean by that? So over the course of your event, you might have a networking evening, you might have a breakout session, you might have what we commonly in America they call fireside chats. Okay, so they're more intimate chats between maybe a speaker, an influencer, an author, and some of the audience. You can actually get sponsors or partners to sponsor particular sections. So you could have a networking room, virtually speaking, and then you could have your sponsor highlighted during that period of time or in that room. And then they could moderate a panel, for example, or they could use the opportunity to talk about their products. You can get someone from their company to be on the panel to talk to and network with attendees and others who are in the room, right? So that matching, really well matching of your sponsors and the particular part, section, stage or phase of your event is quite key, both for your sponsor, because it's a more integrated, higher level value to them, and also to your attendees. We're seeing this happen now more and more as virtual events develop, okay, and grow. So that is another way of personalizing it for your sponsors, okay, not just your attendees. And it's a brilliant, brilliant way of breaking up the day as well, so that attendees experience something a bit different, because each of your sponsors might do something different. They might have a different way that they do things. And so it breaks up the experience visually as well for your attendees. So these kind of tailored, guided, intentional phases of your event, you can match different sponsors. Now, if you're, I know they've got this in Australia and UK, we have a show called Love Island, and I bang on about Love Island being for a very long time a very good example of a virtual event. Okay, it is. Because although, yes, it's broadcast on TV, you'll find most of their demographic are not actually watching it live. They will be looking at Love Island through Twitter. Okay, now they use Twitter very well, right? They use memes, GIFs, all of these things. And I've written an article, which is on our website, all about Love Island and what you can learn from Love Island as a B2B marketer and in the virtual event space. Okay, so what Love Island do very well, certainly the one in the UK with ITV, is they match the right sponsors and partners to the demographic watching the show, and then they put them in the right places. Now, what do I mean by that specifically? So Love Island will work with food delivery companies, a lot of kind of fast fashion companies who have the same audiences or who are trying to reach the same audience as those who watch Love Island. So you'll find, for example, when they broadcast on TV, in the ad breaks, they'll have different sponsors that come up during the ad break. Okay. When they have their additional kind of after sun program, where they tend to have celebrities come on and talk about and commentate on the events during each episode, they will have specific sponsors that appear and feature at those times because it matches the audience watching. Whereas online, on Twitter, on Instagram, the sponsors that are active during that time will be dishing out discount codes while the show is happening, okay? They will be commenting on elements of the show. They'll be using GIFs and memes and images along with their discount codes to keep themselves highly relevant, okay, and have high impact at the time when most people are watching the show, most people are commenting and interacting and collaborating on Twitter, right? So it's back to that virtual profit framework that I talked about before. Okay, that element of collaboration and community. Love Island does that extremely well. The way they combine the right sponsors with their social media at the right time in front of the right audience. And that is why they profit in the way that they do. So this is something that we're seeing happening more and more in virtual events. It doesn't matter what type of organization you are. Maybe your event is more educational. It could be in an industry that's quite traditional and conventional. It doesn't matter. You can still find ways to create a collaborative and community experience for both sponsors and attendees and match them properly so that there's maximum benefit to both parties and the overall experience is better for your attendees. So these kind of tailored, intentional and guided paths that you can take your attendees on really do make a difference. And that's what we're seeing more of. So that was another trend that I wanted to kind of share with you. Now, the thing is that data is really valuable. Okay, so regardless of the type of virtual event that you are planning and facilitating, if you're gathering data, and then personalizing, analyzing that data, and then personalizing the choices that you make or the decisions you make as a result. What do I mean by that? So for example, okay, you've got a virtual event on, you've been marketing the event, people have been signing up, registering interest with their email address. Okay, so you've taken them to a landing page, they're registering their interest with an email address. At that point in the journey, you can have a few questions on there, asking them, what are you interested in? What are you looking forward to? What do you hope to get out of this event? Now, by getting them to give you that information at that stage, you are able to segment down your list, your email list, into buckets. So, for example, some people might say, I'm interested in the networking, or I'm interested in hearing this particular speaker. I'm interested in knowing more about the trends in energy in 2020. So you can now bring together the list of people who are interested in energy, the list of people who are interested in this particular speaker, and the list of people who are interested in networking. And then what can you do next? Well, you now can interact with those people in your pre-marketing, even your post-marketing, about the topics they said they were interested in. So there's no point in emailing someone who wasn't interested in networking about networking. You're better off, and it's probably more prudent, to email them about the particular talk they said that they were looking forward to. That keeps them engaged. It's personalized, back to that personalization point I talked about earlier. But the important part here is that unless you're gathering data, you can't make those strategic decisions. You can't make those moves because you don't have any data to go on. Okay, so then you're back to just being generic and broad in the way you're marketing and interacting and trying to engage your potential attendees. And that is why the virtual event space is so interesting, because even when you've uploaded your content onto the platform, for example, the reality of human behavior is that when we go in, we don't necessarily always look at everything at first. We look at what catches our eye. We look at what we're interested in anyway. Okay. If you think about going to an actual in-person event anyway, when we walk into the room, we don't run to every single stand. We don't necessarily even work every single stand systematically from left to right, top to bottom. We tend to meander, wander. We may have a plan in advance about the specific stands we want to go to. So people are picking and choosing and customizing anyway. It's no different in the virtual context. So you just have to guide them intentionally from the beginning, okay? So that the experience is better for them, you get better feedback, and you can track ROI, okay? Because you've been intentional. And the best way of doing this is to be data-driven. But of course, to be data-driven, you need to collect data in the first place. You need to be collecting data in the first place so that you can make decisions thereafter. One last trend I wanted to definitely share is using more videos in the virtual context. And what I mean by that is if you are a physical maybe site or company. And right now you can't do site visits, or, you know, due to distancing measures, you can't have X amount of people, you know, in a space at once. Create virtual tour videos. And you can do this as an organization. You know, it's really quite, again, it deepens the experience. You know, maybe you can have pictures or a virtual video of your office building or the ballroom or the conference room you usually would have held events in. You can upload that to your virtual event platform. You could use that video as a welcome video. Okay, you can create this kind of virtual lobby experience where that video sits. So when people first log in, that's what they're seeing. You can welcome them to the event with familiar images, okay, that actually depict or represent your physical spaces and environments. I've seen a lot of examples of that. So for example, let's say your event is in Dubai or your event is in Spain, sometimes you'll see that the background, you know, represents that, reflects that environment. So, you know, in the UK, when the weather's not so good, you know, we've got lots of clouds. But actually, if your event would have happened in Morocco, you can actually show some Moroccan elements in your virtual event in terms of the landscape, the backdrop, etc. We're seeing a rise in that. So that kind of personalization again, so there's more of an aesthetic experience as well for your attendees. You might want to show floor plans, you know, 3D, 2D floor plans. Maybe you'll have a document that the attendees can download where they can have a look at what, you know, where each room is, or you take them on a virtual 360 tour. You can get a manager to do that. Okay, and that video can be uploaded to the platform and accessible for your attendees. It's really about just deepening that experience, you know, for your attendees right now. Another trend as well, which I absolutely love, again, from the content perspective, from the attendee experience perspective, is real-time change and response. So it's funny because a lot of the time we talk about being really prepared and being proactive instead of reactive. And that is very true in most cases. But there is a benefit to reactive behavior during, even just before a virtual event goes live, and also during. It goes back to this issue of, you know, being personal, customizing the experience, using the data you have to drive decisions and changes. If you are, for example, in the middle of a live event and maybe a talk is happening, right? A talk is on, you can see the chat box, polls are being used, you're interacting, engaging with the audience, and you can see, for example, because of the results of the poll, 78% of attendees said they want to know more about recycling, I don't know, disposable cups. Now, in real time, you can now tailor and change the content. So in that moment, 78% of attendees have said, this is what we want to know about. Now, in that moment, you can be reactive and maybe move the discussion about recycling disposable cups up further in the event, or your speaker can be intuitive and react and start talking about that. This is where this overall training piece becomes very important. But this is where reactiveness works and is vital. That's something that you can't always do at in-person events. Your agenda is usually very set, okay? So even if in the middle of a talk, you're talking about something that right now the audience is not interested in, they're not engaged with, you roll on. Whereas in the virtual setting, you can adapt, you can react in real time, seamlessly with the support of, you know, your production team. As a speaker, they can intuitively think, okay, that's what the audience want to know. Let me move on to that section. Yeah, so these real-time event changes, you can survey your audience before the event even happens, like we said, or during the event, you can use polls. That data helps you to understand what's going on, how your attendees are feeling. If you notice a dip in attendees for a particular session, you can think about why, you can delve deeper into why and how you can, you know, rejig the agenda or rejig the experience so that you get higher attendance at certain parts. Okay, so it's really, really useful to think in this way, because then you can make immediate adjustments. Maybe you need to do more push notifications. Maybe you need to email attendees to nudge them to turn up to a particular session or join a session that has already started. All of those things all of those things help make the experience much better for the attendees, but also help you get your return, okay? Because then you're able to keep gathering this data. If you want to, maybe there's a particular element of the program that not many attendees have clicked on, engaged with, they haven't turned up to, you can drive traffic there with other strategies. But it's very difficult to assess and identify where you can be reactive if you're not collecting data and your approach isn't to personalize the experience in the first place. So those are just some of the trends that I'm seeing, the things that are happening in virtual events, you know, a combination of feedback from our clients, feedback that we've been able to gather from the events that we've been involved in and what I could see other companies doing. I hope you found that helpful today. And again, if you do want to have a conversation, a discussion about how you can launch, how you can develop or design a virtual experience for your organization, please don't hesitate to drop us an email, get in touch with us. Until next time, take care.